أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله ملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا مولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. Brothers in Islam and the listeners of Sirius FM, Radio Al-Ansar and Alhamdulillah, Masjid Sahaba, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is a special edition of the Q&A session coming to you from the Avondale Musalla here in Durban. Alhamdulillah, it's a beautiful, lovely evening. And with Mufti A.K. Hussein coming into town, you can feel the tranquility, the expectation. And one thing I would like to tell Mufti A.K. Hussein, that whenever he comes into Durban, it's like coming second home. Alhamdulillah, ahlan wa sahlan. And it was Mufti A.K. Hussein who had the privilege of implementing the Q&A session. You could actually call him, you know, the father of radio, Islamic radio. It started off on CII, alhamdulillah. It was a floating madrasa, and with that amana that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him, he's still continuing. So Mufti sahab, we hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lets us do the work in a manner that pleases him most, and inshallah, my du'as are with you, Mufti.
Barakallah. Jazakallah khair.
And alhamdulillah, as Mufti sahab said, we have to tell you the date today. The Islamic date is the 8th of Muharram of 1440 and the 18th of September 2018. We're looking at the Islamic financial indicators. The Zakat Nisab is 4,506 rands. The Mahar Fatimi is 11,265 rands. A minimum Mahar for Hanafis is 230 rands. Minimum Mahar for Malikis is 80 rands. Shafis and Hanbali, well, no minimum mahar. So Mufti sahab, is it true? They say Shafi kullu mafi. Hey. So alhamdulillah, if you want to get in touch with the Mufti A.K. Hussein, he will give you his email address. He's also on the platform of Markaz Sahaba. Many radio stations do take Mufti's nasiha, and alhamdulillah, he is well known in Africa, in Europe, in America, and also the Holy Land of Saudi Arabia. Mufti A.K. Hussein, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and also listeners at home, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Brother Shafat Ahmed Khan, Barakallahu feekum. We also welcome the listeners of Radio Al-Ansar International and Sirius FM in the East Rand and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wa Jama'ah. All the brothers who are present here as well, Barakallahu feekum, Jazakallahu khairan.
Jee Mufti sahab, getting straight into it, looking at the first question that came on earlier, it says, which dua should I read against the people who are causing me harm? Mufti sahab.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala Rasulil Kareem, Amma Ba'd, all praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When people are plotting, planning against you and trying to cause you harm, it is not something new. This started already from Iblis. It was his jealousy and pride and arrogance that made him refuse Almighty Allah Jalla Wala's command and defied the command of Almighty Allah Aba Wastakbara. He refused and defied the law of Almighty Allah and was too arrogant. So therefore he did not prostrate and perform sajda to Nabi Adam alayhi salatu salam. So all this we see in today's world is based on jealousy, based on envy, pride, arrogance. So what should we do when we know people are plotting, planning against us? There are two, three things we can do. Number one, read Surah 40, verse 44. Very short verse, very, very effective. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us, وَأُفَوِّدُ أَمْرِي إِلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَصِيرٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. Ya Allah, you know this person, this organization, that company, they are working against me, they want to cause me harm. I'm handing over my matters and affairs to you, O Almighty Allah. Verily Allah is all observing over the servants. Chapter 40, verse 44. In the very next verse, Surah 40, verse 45, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us, فوقاه الله سيئات ما مكروا. Almighty Allah will protect that person from the scheming, plotting, planning of those who want to cause you harm. What a wonderful promise from Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. We just need to connect ourselves to Almighty Allah. Second verse we should try and read is Surah 29 verse 30. Chapter 29 verse 30. Rabbin surni alal qawmil mufsideen. Ya Allah, these people are troublemakers, mischief makers. You assist me and help me. Who recited this dua, O brothers, O listeners of Radio Al Ansar, Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba? Nabi Lut alayhi salatu salam, the people who not listen to him. They were people who were bent on committing homosexuality and the gay brigade. So he cried to Allah. Today when you go to occupied Palestine, you see the impact of the dua of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu salam. As far as altitude goes, it is the lowest portion on this earth till today. And you look at Al-Bahrul Mayyid, the Dead Sea, remember that is teaching us a lesson. Nothing can survive there. So Almighty Allah will decimate and destroy the troublemakers unless they repent and turn for the better. Surah 29 verse 30. And read the dua. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to read against the enemies and troublemakers. Mentioned in Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmad. Allahumma inna naj'aluka fi nuhurihim wa na'udhu bika min shururihim. Oh Allah, we place you on their necks and we beg you, Ya Allah, for protection from their evil. So wonderful, beautiful du'as in the Quran Sharif, in the Sunnah Mubarakah of the Master alayhi salatu salam, and this will help us and assist us against our enemies.
Mufti Sahab, whilst you're talking, the listeners are sending in some questions, and whilst you're on the topic of what du'a you should read, people, this is a question from a listener who's from the Al Ansar platform, says, people causing harm, what is the punishment of those delving in witchcraft, Mufti Sahab?
Almighty Allah Jalla Wala speaks of witchcraft in the Noble Quran in various places. Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salatu salam, after reconstructing Masjidul Aqsa, recited various du'as. As mentioned in Sunan Nasa'i, he made and recited three du'as. One du'a is enshrined in a noble Quran. Rabbi habli mulka la yambaghi li ahadim min ba'di. Oh my beloved Allah, grant me such a kingdom that is not suitable. It does not behove anybody after me. Innaka antal wahhab. Oh Allah, you are the best of givers. Almighty Allah granted him the kingdom. The enemies, they made propaganda. They said Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salatu salam is running this vast mighty kingdom. What jadu, what sihr, what witchcraft and sorcery and magic. Almighty Allah Jalla wala said, وَمَا كَفَرَ Sulaiman. Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salatu salam is not committing kufr and blasphemy. Allah did not say wama sahara Sulaiman, that he is not doing witchcraft and sorcery and magic and jadu. Therefore Imam Malik rahimahullah, Imam Daril Hijra, he uses this verse and say that people who dabble in witchcraft and jadu and so forth, they are out of the fold of Islam. Majority scholars say they are Muslim, but they are guilty not of a saghira, a minor sin. They are not guilty of a kabira, a minor sin, but they are guilty of akbarul kabair, the most heinous of crimes, when people indulge in these type of napak and illegal activities, going to sangomas and going to these type of people. Therefore, when we have computers and so forth, we have firewalls. So remember, our firewall and protection is what? Read, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, is, will always be the most beloved, the most precious to all, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. But when the Jews and the enemies made jadu against the Master alayhi salam, Almighty Allah revealed these 11 verses of Surah Falaq and Surah An-Nas. Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha speaks about this incident in detail. And you will find it in various ahadith compilations, Mishkat Sharif, Musnad Ahmad, Bukhari, Muslim, and various compilations. So we should stay in hudu, read the manzil, and in that way there, remember that people who indulge in this witchcraft, they are putting their iman online, this fear, they might even lose their iman in the process, Allah forbid. As I mentioned, that is the verdict of Imam Malik rahimahullah.
Another question coming through to us, Mufti Sahib, really going national today and also international, is from the Midrand. It says, when is Ashura and what should we do on this day, Mufti Sahib?
Remember that in Makkah Mukarrama, Madina Munawwara, Majlul Aqsa, South Africa, and 90-95% of the countries throughout the world, Wednesday night is the auspicious night of Ashura, and Thursday, this week Thursday, is the honorable day of Ashura. So what should we be doing, O esteemed listeners? Three things we need to do, and for each one I will mention the relevant hadith. Number one, remember the hadith is authentic in Sahih Muslim. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَحْتَسِبُ عَلَى اللَّهِ أَيُّ كَفِّرَ السَّنَةَ الَّتِي قَبْلَهَا. I expect and hope Almighty Allah Jalla Wala to forgive the previous year's sins. So from last year, 10 Muharram, to this year, Muharram, 10 Muharram, all our minor sins, inshallah, will be forgiven. But we are not, must not imitate the Jews. You see, last week Monday, today is Monday, and technically now we're into Tuesday according to Islam. Last week Monday was the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, that is the new Jewish year. It's called Rosh Hashanah, and the year that started according to the Jewish calendar is 5799. And this week, yeah, they will be observing the fast called Yom Kippur. Up to now, they observe this fast. So we must not imitate and emulate them. So Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith in Musnad Ahmad, Sumu yawman qablahu aw yawman ba'dahu. Fast one day before Ashura or one day after the day of Ashura. So Wednesday, Thursday, we fast, mashallah, 9th and 10th. Or Thursday, Friday, 10th and 11th. Or the best will be 9, 10 and 11 we keep the fast. So that is excellent. Alhamdulillah, Allah give us tawfiq. So first thing we should do is fasting. Second thing, on Wednesday night or Thursday during the day before Maghrib, all you husbands, all you fathers, for your children who are not married and so forth, so you should be spending a bit more on your beloved wife. Tell your darling wife, your sweetheart, oh honey, here's some money. And in that way there, mashallah, Allah Jalla Wala will bring the hearts closer. We know the bodies are close, but we don't want only the body to be close to one another. We want the hearts to be close to one another. When the hearts are connected, there's unity of thought. And then the whole family goes in the same direction. So remember, that is the second sunnah. Man wasa'a ala iyalihi fin nafaqa yawma ashura. Wasa'a allahu sa'ira sanati. Open Mishkat Sharif Bayhaqi. You will find the hadith. Who spends on his family. So whether it is food stuff and so forth. So remember, then Almighty Allah will increase your risk and sustenance for the remainder of the year. There is Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah's teacher, Sufyan bin Uyayna. Imam Sufyan bin Uyayna, great scholar of hadith, states, more than 50 years I practice on this. I spent on my wife and children on the day of Ashura, the night of Ashura. Allah Jalla Wala increased my risk for the whole year. For وَفَجَرَّبَنَاهُ فَوَجَدْنَاهُ كَذَلِكَ. I tried it and that is exactly what happened. So all of you, Wednesday night, Thursday, inshallah, be a bit generous, more than generous to your wives and children. So that's the second sunnah. Third one, the hadith is mentioned in Tirmidhi Sharif. تَابَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ وَيَتُوبُ فِيهِ عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ آخَرِينَ. Allah Jalla Wala accepted the tawbah of a nation of people, that is the Bani Israel, the people of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu salam, and Allah Jalla Wala, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, informing us, is that Allah will accept the tawbah of people in the latter generations, hadith in Tirmidhi. So it is a night of tawbah, it is a day of tawbah. Beg Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, Stay away from all these movies and TV and all the satanic activities. Cry to Almighty Allah. We don't know how many more Ashura we will see in our life, my brothers. So therefore, make Qadr and appreciate these auspicious days and auspicious nights.
Well, I remember what Mufti said on Wednesday. You won't forget, eh? What you going to say? Oh, honey, here's your money.
So Wednesday night, inshallah.
Wednesday night, inshallah. Yes, sir, listeners, you can call us or WhatsApp your questions to Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain on 060-904-1056. 060-904-1056. Question here, it says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mufti sahab, I really enjoy you. Jazakallah khair for a very informative program. I want to know how old was Fatima radiallahu anha when she passed away.
Sayyida Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha was very, very young when she married Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, and she was about 15 years old and few months. So that was already in the second year of the Hijrah during the month of Ramadan. And when Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in his fatal illness, so the Master alayhi salatu salam whispered in the ear of Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha, and she was crying. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whispered again, and she started smiling as mentioned in Bukhari Sharif. So Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha asked Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha, she said, no, this is a sir, this is a secret between me and my honorable father. After the demise of the Master alayhi salatu salam, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha asked and inquired from Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha. She said, my father told me that the wafat and demise is imminent and therefore I was crying. And then the Master alayhi salatu salam told me that I will be the first one to join Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam. So this is what happened. The Master alayhi salatu salam's demise took place in Rabiul Awwal in the 11th year of the Hijrah. 6 months after that, as mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, so Sayyida Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha passed away. In that 6 months she hardly smiled. Fama dhahikat qattu, as mentioned in Bukhari Sharif. So when she was 15 years old, in the second year of the Hijrah, and now in the 11th year, so you add another 9 years to that. So remember, she was 24 years old when she passed on, radiallahu ta'ala anha. And we know the manaqib and the virtues of Siddiq Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha. Wa Fatimatu Sayyidatu Nisa'i Ahlil Jannah. She is the leader of the women in Jannah, authentic hadith in Tirmidhi. And when Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, when our father, our mother passes away, how sad we feel. Remember that this is Rahmatul Alameen, the most beloved, the most precious to all, Mighty Allah Jalla Wala in the entire creation. She read one poem, Subbat Alayya Masaibu, Law Annaha Subbat Alal Ayyami Sirna Layaliya. Such a calamity has befallen me, Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha states, that if that calamity had to fall on the day should be transformed into night. And I have to mention one announcement, that my one auntie passed away in Roshni this evening, and Janaza Salat will be at 10:30 tonight, Mrs. Halima Sharif Noor in Roshni, and may Almighty Allah, mother of Hafiz Riyaz Sharif Noor, may Almighty Allah grant our auntie, she was very ill and sickly, may Almighty Allah grant her Jannatul Firdaus and the family Sabrun Jameel, and likewise all of us remember, we know so many people who are ill and sick, Allah give them all Shifa-e Kamil.
Alhamdulillah, yes, Mufti sahab, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all Muslims Jannatul Firdaus, ameen, summa ameen. Question coming from the Eastern Cape, alhamdulillah, all listening very intently to you, Mufti sahab, it says, what is the sign that our deeds are acceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
When a person continues with the righteous deeds and actions, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. So when we say Almighty Allah is our sustainer, nourisher, not only verbally, but from the inner recesses of our heart, and we continue with the righteous deeds, al-hasanatu ba'd al-hasana, to continue with the good deeds, that's the sign of qabuliyat and acceptance by Almighty Allah. As-sayya ba'd al-hasana, We did so much good. We went for Hajj, we kept fast in Ramadan, and we did so many good deeds. But then we go back to our sayyi'ah, our vices, our evil. Allah is the sole judge. But superficially, outwardly, that is a sign of rejection. So therefore, this challenge, we must continue daily and beg Almighty Allah, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ O beloved Allah, accept from us, verily you are all hearing and all knowing.
Alhamdulillah, yes, listeners, just keep the messages coming through because I can see we have a big list here, Mufti Sahib, 060-904-1056. 060-904-1056. A little later on we'll be opening the floor here, inshallah. But if you've got all these questions, Mufti Sahib, you'll be doing this first, inshallah. Let's look at this question. It says, Salam the Mufti Sahib. Is it permissible for a woman to go and ask the hand in marriage of a man to his wali?
Remember that in our Indian culture, you say, Aapne toh hamara naak kaat diya. What you did, you have cut the nose of the family that you have caused us disgrace. But when we study the Quran Sharif, we study the Ahadith Mubarakah, we see in Surah 28, verses 24, 25, 26, 27, Nabi Musa alayhi salatu left Egypt and he came to Madian. And when he came there, he didn't know anybody. Learn this dua, O Ummah, O esteemed listeners of Radio Al-Ansar and Markaz Sahaba and Sirius FM. Surah 28, verse 24, Nabi Musa alayhi salam enters Madian. He needs boarding, he needs lodging, he needs everything. What does he say? Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khairin faqir. O Allah, that whatever goodness you are sending down, I am a faqir, I'm a pauper, I'm in need of it, Ya Allah. We all are paupers and beggars in front of Allah. Wallahu al-ghani antumul fuqara. Yesterday when we landed, I told my wife, read the dua. She knows what I'm talking about. So when we touched the land here of your King Shaka Airport, we both read the same dua. Ya Allah, whatever goodness there is, you give us that, Ya Allah, through your grace and mercy. And many other du'as. Thereafter, the two daughters, he gave them water. They were the daughters of Nabi Shu'ayb alayhi salam. They went home early. The father said, what happened? They said, there was a man there so strong. He gave us water and he's so honorable. He, the father, realized this is someone special. The daughter said, Istajirhu, O father, employ him. The father, Nabi Shu'ayb alayhi salam, said, Inni uridu an unkihaka ihda banatayya hatin. I want one of you to marry him. So if the lady sends the proposal to somebody that I want to marry you, her parents, her father and them are happy. Or you must remember that she sends the message via somebody else. So all that is acceptable. How did Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu anha marry Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? She was so impressed with the akhlaqi kareema wa innaka la ala khuluqin azim. The master alayhi salatu salam's character was so sublime and is so sublime and exalted. She was so impressed and she sent the message to Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam via the family and said, yes, I will be prepared to marry you, O Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So we see all these examples. So there's nothing wrong. However, for you daughters and sisters, this is absolutely unacceptable, not permissible. You just see some boy there in university or school or here and there and say, I want to marry you. And your father, your parents, nobody even knows about it. That's not permissible. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Hadith in Abu Dawood, Tirmidhi, La nikaha illa bi waliyin. There is no nikah. It's not permissible without the consent of the guardian. And the guardian is the father or the brother of that lady. So that is compulsory. And that is how we move forward in Islam.
If you'd like to acknowledge all of you, Alhamdulillah, sitting patiently and listening to Mufti A.K. Hussain, Damat Barakatum. Also, Morana Shabir Asmal, I'd like to acknowledge you. Alhamdulillah, he's come here, Mufti Sahib, he'll be joining the Masjid Sahaba team very soon.
Inshallah.
You're welcome on board, inshallah. Mufti Sahib, looking at this question, it says, a wife passed away and was survived by husband, parents, two sons and two daughters. What is their share?
In Islam, when a person passes away, we must follow the following sequence. Number one is funeral burial expenses. and death will come from the estate of the deceased. However, if the family, friends want to pay for it, so alhamdulillah, there is no problem. Second one is the debts of the deceased must be paid. Whether it is personal debts or corporate debts, many a time people are neglectful. Remember, justice delayed is justice denied. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Nafsul mu'mini mu'allakatun biduyuni hatta tugdan. The deceased will not enter Jannah and Paradise until and unless the debts are paid. The hadith in Muslim Ahmad. So therefore, expedite the payment to the creditors. Third one is wasiyah. Wasiyah is that you bequeath. You say that we are in Avondale Musalla now, you want to bequeath to this Musalla, you contact our brother Haji Muhammad Ikhlas or his brothers and say that I want to give A, B, C and so forth, so I have written in my will, or any other masjid for example or madrasa that you know that they are doing very good work according to the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, so you can and could bequeath maximum up to 1/3 of the total estate, that's maximum. For non-heirs. And the fourth one will be the shares of the heirs. So we see here in this instance the wife passed away, so she left the husband. So the husband will inherit 25%. And then her parents are also living, so in a case like that, they, the parents, mother, father, will receive 1/6, 1/6 each. So that collectively is 1/3. So husband 25%, and then the parents 1/3, that will be shared equally, 1/6, 1/6. And then the residue and remainder, we got 2 sons, 2 daughters. So of that residue remainder, you make 6 shares. 2 shares for the 2 sons and 1 share for the 2 daughters. This is how the estate will be winded up. And to all of you brothers, sisters, I humbly appeal to you and beg you, please try and ensure that you have your will ready. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith in Bukhari Sharif, يَبِيتُ لَيْلَتَيْنِ إِلَّا وَوَصِيَّةُ مَكْتُوبَةٌ عِنْدَهُ. You should not even allow 2 nights to pass, but your last testament and will should be written. We allow 20 years, 40 years to pass, and still we are sitting in a comfort zone. Death can come any time, and death is inevitable, brothers. So therefore, it is in our own interest. If a person passes away intestate without a will, Islamically there are problems, legally there are problems, and many a time I saw with my own eyes how the family disintegrates. So therefore, brothers, try and sort all these issues out whilst you are healthy and you have the means also, alhamdulillah.
8:27 Central African Time. Yes, Mufti Saab, we have about 3 minutes to go before the break. This question says, Salam, Mufti Saab, I am 74, I am very depressed, can't concentrate in my namaz, forgot what I am reading. Please, Mufti Saab, name the sifara, not verse and chapter. This I don't understand. Mufti Saab, make him understand.
See, this may be a lady, a mother, a sister, they phone me, contact me, say, Mufti Saab, you quote surah and verse, we don't understand, we want supara. So we give you supara, yes. Uncle, auntie, khala, uncle. Surah 21, that is Surah Anbiya, verse 87, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimeen. This is in the 17th supara. So read it abundantly, inshaAllah. Surah 21 and verse 87, and I'm sure you know the verse. Anytime you feel depressed, you feel down and out, read the dua of Nabi Yunus alayhi salatu salam. Look at the beauty, the glory of the noble Quran. Allah Jalla wa Ala said, وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمْ, that we rescued him, Nabi Yunus alayhi salam, from the sadness, the worry. وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Similarly, Allah will rescue the believers. Now in Salat we are confused and the shaitan is blowing our fuses and so forth. So what should we read? We went for Hajj, so I made all the Hajis, I told them in our group. I said that see, there are few shayateen who trouble us. Number one, when we performing wudu, now we are doubting whether the wind came out from the back or it came out from the front, and people are a little confused today. And remember that people in Salat, they are mixed up, don't know which rakat they are reading. So for wudu, hadith in Tirmidhi, إِنَّ لِلْوُدُوءِ شَيْطَانًا يُقَالُ لَهُ الْوَلَحَانِ. Ya Allah, protect me from walahan. That is for wudu. For Salat, the hadith in Sahih Muslim, the shaitan's name is Khinzab, K-H-I-N-Z-A-B. So Kala, uncle, read the dua, Ya Allah, I seek your protection from Khinzab, so that he does not confuse me and blow my fuses in Salat. And third one, remember for all the shayateen, say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min shayateen al-insi wal-jinn. Ya Allah, I seek your protection from all the shayateen, in human form and jinn form. So in that way, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala will protect us. So Kala, greet Surah 21, verse 87, 17 Supara, La ilaha illa anta subhanak, inni kuntu min al-zalimin, abundantly.
Time for us to go to the marketplace and inshallah we will continue after that. This is a live broadcast coming to you from the Avenue Masalla in Durban, Alhamdulillah, Dusti AK Sen, Master Sahaba, carried by Sirius FM and also Radio Al Ansar. Yes, you can get your questions through on 060-904-1056, 060-904-1056. Our Mufti A.K. Hussain is on standby for it. Alhamdulillah, Mufti Sahib, we're looking at this question. It says, I gave a person a loan in rands and now the value is less. Can I charge him more?
We all know in South Africa the money is depreciating. Allah alone knows how far it will go and what will happen in future. This is part of our Islamic justice. Study the noble Quran, Surah 2, Surah Baqarah, verses 275 to 279. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala states that when you gave a loan to somebody, فَإِن تُبْتُمْ فَلَكُمْ رُؤُوسُ أَمْوَالِكُمْ, you're only entitled to the capital amount, the principal amount. Anything extra, excess, all that will constitute interest, riba, which is totally haram. And if we continue with riba and interest, there is a stern warning. فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا, if you don't abstain and refrain, فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, be prepared for a war against Almighty Allah Jalla Wala and Mustafa Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And in Jami'u Saghir, a wonderful, beautiful hadith of Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, كُلُّ قَرْزٍ جَرَّ مَنْفَأَةً فَوَرِبَا, every loan you take and then it attracts benefit, you take more than the amount you gave, that remember is riba. I ask you a question, brother. Now the money is depreciating. If the money was appreciating and now you gave that person 100,000 and now he tells you, no, the value is now much more, so he'll give you 90,000, would you accept it? So definitely you wouldn't accept it. So similarly now, you only take back the 100,000 and you can't charge him 105, 110,000. Absolutely haram that is.
Mufti Sahib, this question says, Salam, so what happens if your brother robs you of your house, share, gone 10 years now and no house?
Remember, I don't understand if this robs you in inheritance or robs you while all parties are alive. If it is inheritance, then remember in Surah 4 verse 14, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala addresses this issue. Therefore, I just told you just now, try and sort all these things out. Surah 4, Surah Nisa in the 4th Supara for Jews, verse 14, Almighty Allah states, وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودًا, whosoever disobeys Almighty Allah Jalla Wala and Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and goes beyond the limits, then Almighty Allah dispatches that person to the hellfire for a very, very long time. وَلَهُ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ, and for such a person will be a humiliating punishment. So brother, you need to get the ulama or some elders of the family involved, one house, and maybe he usurped the entire house, your share was there, and now he doesn't want to pay you rental. All this is going to cause problems not only amongst your siblings, but among your children and everyone. Therefore, I always say, partnership nowadays is a ship that does not sail very far. So this is what you need to sort out, and you need to get outside there, bring in the ulama or senior members of your family.
Messages, Salams, Mufti Sahib, enjoy your many programs on air. All Muslims experience debt in their household at some times. Many are traumatized and have no idea of burial procedure. Please, may you be so kind and educate Muslims on the proper procedure. Funerals of females, males, children, stillborn, mother and child passing away after birth. A mother passing away after birth, a Muslim passing away in a foreign country. Also, family members instructing burial personnel on procedures, etc. Jazakallah khair, Captain Subada.
Jazakallah khair, brother. We will do so, inshallah. Very briefly, we all know death is inevitable and Islam has placed a real structure in place. Number one, we should know the conditions, the signs of Sakarat. Be honest, my brothers, we are in Muharram 1440. When last did we even recite this dua? Allahumma inni ala sakaratil maut. Oh Allah, assist me against the pains and pangs of death. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the most beloved to Allah, recited this dua. Ta'aliman lil ummah, to educate and teach this ummah, me and you. So when you see the tip of the nose is bending towards the left hand side, you see the temple is subsiding, so remember that a sign that these are the final stages of that person. Me and you who are there, I saw this with my father, my mother, so what should we be doing? So we should recite, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Laqinu mautakum, La ilaha illallah. You should not instruct them to read, you should remind them. And once they have read, you can see the lip movement, then you remain silent. Because the aim is, once the person has recited the kalima La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, that's an excellent sign, Allah's mercy, they'll go straight to Jannah, Jannatul Firdaus, inshallah. Then we have the ghusl procedure, that now we have to bathe the deceased. So remember, so many a time we delay all this, which is not good. So you should try and do the ghusl as soon as possible. Thereafter, the kafan and shrouding for the men, we have 3 pieces, for the women, 5 pieces. And thereafter, remember, is salatul janaza. So these are the issues, and then the burial after that. Then after that, the shares of the heirs, all these things need to be expedited. So many a time, people are traveling and somebody passes away. So what do you do in cases like that? So all these are issues, inshallah, as we do our programs, we will enlighten the ummah. And very, very important that remember that we need to keep our will also ready when we are traveling. It should be with us because death can strike anywhere in the world.
Kitab question here says, is it haram to wear high heels? And if so, why? And let's combine this with another. Is makeup haram? And if it is, then why? And can people put it only once?
Yeah, the lady is asking a question regarding high heels. You know, sister, I don't know if you know Afrikaans. In Afrikaans, we had a saying, and still now they use it, shorty makoti. Understood? So makoti is Afrikaans. And shorty, now you are 4 feet tall, 5 feet tall. Now you want to wear high heels, so you want to look 6 feet tall. So is that not deception, sister? You ask yourself. So obviously deception. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man ghashana falaysa minna. Authentic hadith, and that is mentioned in Sahih Muslim. So who deceives us is not of us. So therefore Islam says you can't be wearing Al-Ka'bul Ali. Al-Ka'bul Ali is the Arabic term for high heels. Second one, makeup. Where you want to use makeup, sister? You want to use it in your house? Alhamdulillah, use it so your sleepy husband will also wake up. But you must remember you want to use it for all and sundry everywhere outside. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's authentic hadith in Tirmidhi. إذا خرجت المرأة وهي متأطرة فمرت بمجلس كذا وكذا فهي زانية. When a lady, now she applies makeup and all these things, you ladies know better than me. Now you go outside, every Tom, Dick and Harry, every Tom, Dick and Mary can see you, then you are like a zaniya, like an adulteress. This is the words of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The hadith is mentioned in Tirmidhi and his hadith is sahih, authentic hadith.
Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab. I would like to know, my dog has had pups and the mother cannot look after them. She has killed three of them. The vet says that I should take the pups away from her and bottle feed the rest of them. The pups are only 2 days old. Is this permissible, Mufti Sahab?
You must remember that you should give the pups over to the SPCA or advertise it. There are so many people who want these type of dogs. They can use them for security purposes. They can use them for hunting purposes. If the situation has reached such a stage where the mother is killing their own children, so obviously that we will say it's better you give it out to the organization, SPCA, or you give it over to people. And in that way there, that Islam teaches us, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ الْإِحْسَانَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah jalla wala has prescribed we do ihsan and we do goodness to every creation of all Almighty Allah jalla wala.
Gone 8:43 Central African time. Yes, you can send in your queries, your messages on 060-904-1056. Alhamdulillah, special broadcast coming from the Avondale Musalla in Durban with Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain. This message says, Assalamu alaikum. Yesterday's program was very inspiring regarding the calendars from Adam alayhi salam. Was it the same name as ours or a different name? When each prophet came, did the calendar continue or did it start again?
Almighty Allah Jalla Wala speaks of our Islamic calendar which Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used as well. And we are using, remember, in Surah 9, Surah Tawbah, verse 36, and what we call the Hijra calendar or Hijri calendar. So this is mentioned, Surah 9, Surah Tawbah, verse 36. Inna iddata shuhuri inda Allahi isna ashara shahra. Fi kitabi Allahi yawma khalaqa samawati wal ardh minha arbatun hurum. We have 12 lunar months and 4 of them are sacred. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hadith mentioned in Bukhari Sharif. Thalathun mutawaliyat, three are consecutive months, Zulqa'dah wa Zulhijjah wa Muharram and the month of Rajab. So what I mentioned to you last night, that the first calendar of Hubut Adam alayhi salam, Nabi Adam alayhi salam's transfer to this world, then Tufan and Nuh, the deluge and flood of Nabi Nuh alayhi salam, and the Najat to Ibrahim, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam being rescued and saved by Allah. So all that were for those times only. How prior to Miladun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Mubarak birth of the Master alayhi salam, that year was known as Amul Fil. Wulidan Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Amul Fil. The Master alayhi salam, Milad Mubarak, honorable birth took place in the year of the elephant. So these were events, incidents at that time and not for humanity and posterity. Our calendar is for humanity and for posterity for all times and all places.
Looking at this question, it says that certain groups of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah place a lot of emphasis on the 10th of Muharram and Karbala, not even mentioning Allah saved Musa alayhi salam from the tyranny of Firaun. Your comments, Mufti Sahab.
We need to remember that everything must be kept in its perspective. If a person passes away on a Friday, you don't say Friday became important because he or she passed away. You say Almighty Allah Jalla Wala elevated that person by granting that person death with Iman and Islam on Jumu'ah on a Friday. So Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke of Yom Ashura, and take all these incidents and you will see. Number one, in Musnad Ahmad, therefore I'm giving you the references, and look at Quran, Surah 11 verse 44, Surah Hud verse 44. The Tufan, the flood and the deluge took place during time of Nuh alayhi salam. And then, Almighty Allah let the safina, the boat, the ship stop. Wastawat alal Judi at Mount Judi, and this is in Surah 11, verse 44. So we see that this happened on the day of Ashura, and mentioned in Musnad Ahmad. So the day of Ashura is already sacred and significant from time of Nabi Nuh alayhi salam. Further emphasis comes during the time of Nabi Musa alayhi salam, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met the Jews in Madinah Munawwara, hadith in Bukhari Sharif. Why are you fasting? They said, هَذَا يَوْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. This is a significant day. أَنْجَلَّهُ فِيهِ مُوسَى وَقَوْمًا وَغَرَّقَ فِرْعَوْنَ وَقَوْمًا. Allah Jalla Wala saved and rescued Nabi Musa alayhi salam and his people, drowned the Pharaoh and his people. فَصَوْمَهُ مُوسَى شُكْرًا لِلَّهِ. Musa alayhi salam kept this fast to thank Almighty Allah. The Master Rahmatul Alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, نَحْنُ أَحَقُّ وَأَوْلَى بِمُوسَى. We are the ones who are more deserving. We are following the true teachings of Nabi Musa alayhi salam. Nabi Musa alayhi salam was dark in complexion. He had sheepish hair. His Mubarak blessed name is mentioned the most in the noble Quran amongst the Anbiya and Messengers alayhi salam 136 times. So Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam was fasting in Makkah, now in Medina, and verbally the Master alayhi wasallam said that we must oppose the Jews, Khaliful Yahud, and Sumu At-Tasiya wal-Ashir is mentioned as well, fast on the 9th and 10th, or one day before, one day after. So in Musnad Ahmad, so we must take cognizance of all this. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wasallam, remember that the demise took place in the 11th year of the Hijrah in Rabiul Awal, 50 years after that. It is Friday, it is the day of Ashura, it is the year 61, the place is Maidan-e-Karbala. I went to Karbala in 2000. So this was Almighty Allah Jalla Wala elevating Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sibtu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the beloved Nawasa and grandson of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not the other way round, the 10th Muharram became important because of Karbala. No, that is propaganda. What we need to know is that Ashura was already important and significant. Even prior to Miladun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the honorable birth of the Master alayhi wa sallam, if you study the history of the Kiswa, of the Khilaf, of the Baytullah, they used to change it, the Quraysh, on the 10th of Muharram, like how nowadays they change it on the 9th of Zil Hijjah, when we are going to Arafat. So these are issues that we should know and keep everything in the proper perspective.
Mufti Sahib, I'm improvising here, yeah? Because my mic is showing a red sign. So Alhamdulillah, you know, Bilal will check this out, Mufti Sahib, and maybe I'll be using... Okay, Mufti Sahib is sharp, he's giving me his lapel. Bilal, I want you to check that red light is coming through. So Mufti Sahib will carry on. And you may be wondering why I'm standing over you. Alhamdulillah. Some Muslim businessmen or individuals involved in dubious, questionable dealings, but fund legitimate Islamic organizations, masjids, musallas, radio stations. They also sponsor Islamic fairs and the Qawwali. Is this permissible? Your comments, Mufti Sahib.
Obviously, in Islam, we must remember that when people, income must be halal, and thereafter they do good deeds, so that is excellent. And if people are involved in haram, then we have to look at, for example, the fuqaha and the jurors have mentioned, walil akthari hukmul kul, that if majority of the income of the person is halal and then they are contributing to a masjid, madrasa, whatever, so then it's permissible. But that does not mean that that person must continue with the haram. Obviously what is haram remains haram. But we're speaking about your question regarding the contribution. So if the majority of the income is halal, then remember it is halal to accept the invitation of that person. It is permissible to eat by that person's house, to accept his donation, contribution. All that would be acceptable and permissible. That is the fatwa on that issue then.
Question coming through here, Mufti Sahib. It says, Salams, Mufti Sahib. What happens to a man or a woman who are in two different cities chatting and having an affair via telephonic calls and video calls, and they feel it's okay because there is no physical contact?
Please. All these are satanic activities. We must remember the Quran Kareem is very clear on these issues. Quran, this is the difference between Islam and a secular system. Secular system, what they say is, they say that you must light a fire. You will have a male and a female, and then they will smile with one another. They will make eye contact with one another. And you ask them what you're doing. They say, no, it's a platonic relationship. Platonic relationship, they haven't touched one another. There was no tri-ball as yet. You know tri-ball? So where they try whether they have a child or not, they say, no, this is tri-ball. So Islam says, you don't light a fire, you don't have a tri-ball, and we lead a pure and a chaste society. Therefore, I have mentioned this repeatedly, from the womb to the tomb, everything of Islam is pure. And you study the secular satanic system, because if you study secularism, it breeds and advocates and propagates a godless society. So they will tell you, take some alcohol, but then we'll test you whether you are fit to drive or not. You can kiss a lady, you can touch a lady or a man and have physical contact, but remember certain things you mustn't do. So Islam says no. So what you are doing is fooling yourself that one person is in ABC place, another one XYZ place. All this is haram. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. Don't even go near fornication and adultery. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَا يَخْلُوَنَّ رَجُلٌ بِمْرَاتٍ إِلَّا وَثَارِثُمَا شَيْطَانٍ. Never are they a male and female who are strangers to one another. They are alone. So alone don't only mean in one place. You're making your video calls and no one is seeing you according to what you think. And you are sending lewd messages and so forth. You say, but no, we're not touching one another. وَثَالِثُهُمَا الشَّيْطَانِ. And the third party there is shaitan. وَزَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالُهُمْ. If someone does this to your daughter, your son, your wife, your husband, what will you say? So how come you're justifying it for yourself? All these are satanic activities, absolutely haram.
Salam sir, Mufti sahab, when a man takes Allah's name for showing people he's not committing a sin with a woman, and he is, then what will happen to him as he makes everyone else bad besides himself, and why are they so happy in this world?
Remember that when people take Allah's name, they take qasam. Open Surah 63. The munafiqeen and hypocrites in the time of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam were the masters in lying, in deception. They would take big qasam. Almighty Allah revealed to Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam right in the beginning of Surah 63, Wallahu yashhadu innahum lakadibun. And Allah jalla wa ala bears testimony that they are lying, informing Nabi alayhi salam. So this is not barakah, they're living happily. No, this is muhula. Muhula is Allah give them respite and give a thief enough rope to hang himself. So Almighty Allah then humiliates them, disgraces them. In the year after, obviously justice will be there. So don't fool ourselves and think, I want to lead a pure and chaste life and I'm experiencing these upheavals and difficulties. They enjoying haram. Nay, قُلْ لَا يَسْتَوِي الْخَبِيثُ وَالطَّيِّبُ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثِ. Say, O Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the impure and the pure can never be equal, even though the abundance of impurity, it impresses you. You feel, look at this one, nay, but it's impure. So remember, the consequences are also very, very severe.
Special live broadcast of Q&A coming from the Avondale Musalla with Mufti A.K. Hussain in Durban. Yes, sir, Mufti Saab, this question says, Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab. Every day when I make tilawa of the Quran and zikr, my intention is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. Now my question is, when I read every day, do I need to renew my intentions every day that I am reading for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure, for the Salih Sawab, for Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my marhum son, and parents and all my rooms and my children and offspring? Do I have to take their names and progenies until the day of Qiyamah? Jazakallah khairan.
Remember that when you are reciting the Quran Sharif daily, so you make intention, so very good, you will get reward for that. Innama al-a'malu binniyat. And now the Isali Sawab, you don't have to say that every day my father, my mother, Ya Allah, I am sending this as Isali Sawab to the entire Ummah of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those who pass on, those who are alive, that also is permissible, and especially my mother, father and the families. So to take the names, remember that is not necessary. The intention is there. Allah Jalla wa Ala knows that. So that is excellent. The hadith is mentioned in Musnad Ahmad, in Ibn Majah, Abu Dawood. The Rawi, the reporter of the hadith is Ma'qil bin Yasar radiallahu an, wherein Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Iqra Yasin ala mawtakum. Read Surah Yasin for your deceased. So not only Surah Yasin, any part of the Quran Sharif you can read, and that's totally permissible according to all four schools.
Right, Mufti Sahab, you can skip this one, but I'm going to ask you because it's bold and clear, yeah? Mufti's got his eyes closed, but I'm going to ask him this question. Salamza Mufti Sahab, can you please tell us if Taziyah will come out on Wednesday or Thursday?
Remember, in Islam, when a person passes away, then Quran Kareem teaches us, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, that exercise patience. And that is what we are supposed to do. We are not supposed to imitate some culture or some ideology which is against Islam. In Islam, the mourning period, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, is for 3 days only. And now you can't be now mourning after 1 year, 5 years, 100 years and so forth. Then the ummah will be mourning right till the day of Qiyamah. So therefore in Islam, these type of activities are not permissible.
Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Sahab. Can you enlighten me with regards to the following? The azan on the radio and reading the dua after the azan. Jazakallah.
Remember, azan on the radio is very, very good because people now know that it is salat time and so forth. But because today radios, mashallah, they go across the world, so normally they will have an announcement, you should follow your local time and your local calendar and so forth. So it is a reminder that is very good. Secondly, you living in Durban, you living in Lanesia where I am. In Lanesia alone, we have 50 masajid or so. So we are, we listen to about 5, 6, 8, 10 azan. So you just reply to one azan, it's sufficient. Now look at the beauty, three things here quickly before we go for the break. If you know the history of azan, then listen to this, brothers. This is Allah. وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. When you study hadith, you study chain of transmission sanad. The Rawi, the reporter who narrated the hadith on Azan, his name Abdullah bin Zaid bin Abdi Rabbihi. That's his full name. Abdullah bin Zaid bin Abdi Rabbihi. Lahu hadith un wahid. In the entire corpus of hadith, he reported one hadith. Subhanallah, one hadith, but is practiced in the whole world. You start from Fiji, you start from New Zealand, then it comes down and it goes right up to South America. So this is the system of Almighty Allah. Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, we know the problem we face in South Africa, the apartheid regime, that was dismantled, but still the problem is there. Allah Jalla wa Ala sent Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the only rahmatul alameen. It is Fateh Makkah, the conquest of Makkah. Oh Bilal, you are not going to enter the Kaaba Musharrafa, the Baytullah initially. It's Zuhr time. What must I do, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You climb on top of the Kaaba Musharrafa and from there you render the Adhan. The person with a dark complexion who was tortured, persecuted there in Batbatha Quraysh. Learn the words, brothers. When you go next time for Umrah and Hajj, tell the taxi driver to take you Batha Quraysh. On that sand and land, Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu was tortured and persecuted and saying, Ahad, Ahad. Allah Jalla wala elevated him in the 8th year after Hijrah in Ramadan. He's standing on top of the Kaaba to render the Adhan. The Arabs who were fair in complexion could not believe what they're seeing. That is Allah. Third one, what are the virtues of giving Adhan? Al-Mu'azzinuna atwalun nasi a'naqan yawm al-qiyamah. The person who renders the adhan, he will have a long neck on day of Qiyamah. It doesn't mean like a giraffe. He will walk with honor on the day of justice. You have one mu'azzin. We want the reward. Idha azzan al-mu'azzin, faqulu mithla ma yaqulu al-mu'azzin, thumma sallu alayya. So when the mu'azzin renders the adhan, repeat the words of the mu'azzin, then read Durood Sharif and Salawat upon me. Open Muslim Sharif, Tirmidhi Sharif, you will find all these ahadith.
gone 9:01 Central African time. Let's go to the marketplace and inshallah we will continue after that. 9:06 Central African time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Coming to you live from the Avondale Musalla here in Durban. The Q&A session with the Mufti A.K. Hussain. I can tell you, alhamdulillah, we have many interested brothers here also sitting with us, fresh as ever. And alhamdulillah, all the listeners at home sending us their messages. Jazakallah khair for that. And Mufti A.K. Hussain, alhamdulillah, is awaiting to field your questions. I don't know whether to go with the questions with our listeners or the...
One.
Right. Mufti has given me a suggestion. We always say, remember in Islam, you make shura. And the shura is Mufti giving the best advice. As I said, one. So you please everyone, inshallah. Mufti sahab, the eyesight is good. Come, I want you to read this and do it. I think Mufti wants me to do it.
Oh.
Okay, he's used to the... Okay. It is will speaking. Will, let me see the will. I think they do... That's why you're doing like that, Mufti sahab. You know why? Because that writing is very cursive, so I say, I think they do free will. Free will. Tell listeners to contact lawyers, Mufti sahab.
Where there's a will, there's a way, inshallah. So all of you can, inshallah, contact your lawyer and ask him what is the bill. And so tell him, Brother Shafaat said that earth is free this week here. Yeah, so inshallah, they can contact Brother Shafaat, inshallah.
Okay, my son is a lawyer, but alhamdulillah, Mufti sahab, you're the Mufti. You know, when it comes to will, our Mufti sahab is a master. Okay, Mufti sahab, let's take this question. Salam za Mufti sahab. If a person dies on the 8th of Muharram, what blessings does that person get, as it was not Ashura day? Please tell me, Mufti sahab.
Remember, each one of us should be very much concerned about this issue. Death is inevitable. Read the dua of a Nabi. Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu salam made dua. Surah 12, Surah Yusuf, verse 101. Tawaffani muslima wa alhiqni bisalihin. Oh beloved Allah, that let me pass away with Iman, with Islam, and unite me with a devout and pious servant. Remember, a person passes away in Muharram any day. The Quran Kareem states, Minha arbaatun hurum. It is one of the four sacred months. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also mentioned the virtue of Muharram Shahrullah. So therefore, inshallah, if the person passed away any day of Muharram, that's a good sign, and it is Husnul Khatima. Iman and Islam is the prerequisite. So always make dua for our deceased. Read Surah 14, verse 41. Surah 14, verse 41, and that is Surah Ibrahim. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ. Oh beloved Allah, forgive me, forgive my beloved parents and the believers, the day the reckoning is established.
Well, Mufti sahab, I've got the same problem like you, but I'm doing my best to read. I don't know if God will read it someday, but I'm going to read this. This salams, Mufti sahab, a Hanifi staying in a Shafi area. Example, Cape Town, Asr for Shafi is much earlier. Do I wait until Asr, Hanafi time, or can I read my Asr Salah when the Shafi time starts?
Remember, we all are Muslims, alhamdulillah, whether you're Hanafi, Shafi, Maliki, Hanbali, you're living in an area where they are predominantly Shafi'is, and you read Salat there at Shafi time, although normally you follow the Hanafi school. So your Asr Salat is totally valid, there's no problem. If you study the Mazahib, then you will know that what you call the Shafi'i time is not only Imam Shafi'i. Imam Shafi says that, Imam Malik says that, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal says that. Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah's two great students, Sahibain, Imam Abu Yusuf, Imam Muhammad say that. So therefore, the Hanafi ulama also agree, like Imam Abu Yusuf, Imam Muhammad, so your salat is totally valid, there's no problem with that.
Assalamu alaikum, Mufti sahab. Please, if I fast on Monday, that today through Thursday, is it permissible?
Very good, mashallah. Both ahadith you are practicing on. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hadith in Muslim Sharif, wherein the Master alayhi salam said, Ahabbu Siyami ilallah. Ba'da Shahri Ramadan, Shahrullah al-Muharram, the best fast for a Muslim to keep after the compulsory fast of Ramadan is the month of Allah, is Muharram, the hadith in Tirmidhi and Muslim Sharif. Remember, Imam Tirmidhi was a celebrated student of Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, and if you study Jami'ut Tirmidhi, Sunanut Tirmidhi, you will find Imam Tirmidhi, rahimahullah, brought two separate chapters. One for Sawm Muharram, the fasting of Muharram. Separate chapter, Sawm Ashura, to show that these are two separate entities, and you fast Wednesday, Thursday, Thursday, Friday. So, mashallah, ahtasibu alallah, ayyukafira sanat allati qablaha. So, your previous year's sins will be forgiven. Excellent, brother. Allah give us tawfiq to do so also.
Question from the floor, and it reads, Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab. Kindly advise as to whether a Muslim couple newly wed and or married for a period of time should register the marriage, example ANC.
Remember, for every couple who want to register their marriage, yes, you register ANC, nothing to do with the government or the political party. ANC, anti-nuptial contract, excluding, without the accrual system, and that is wajib and compulsory. And the reason and rationale for that is, now you as the husband, you as the wife, you as the father, mother, you can draw up your Islamic world and no one can really contest it. So that is why in our South African context, when we register our marriages, ANC without the accrual system.
Any specific dua to read?
Remember, the husband and wife, the best dua you should read, Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun, Surah 25, verse 74. And every one of us, male, female, adult and child, should be reading the Asma'ul Husna, the beautiful 99 names of Allah. Make this part of our routine. Allah Jalla Wala commands us in the noble Quran, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. Allah has beautiful, wonderful names, and invoke and call Allah by those names. The hadith in Bukhari Sharif, مَنْ أَحْصَاهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ, whosoever reads it, memorizes it, enters Jannah. And remember, for you, husband, wife, read, Ya Wadood, Ya Wadood, Allahumma Alif Baina Qulubina. Ya Allah, you are the one who creates the love. So Ya Allah, let our hearts be joined and reconciled with one another. And for all of you youngsters, you know today, when you are in that mood, and now Ashura is coming and so forth, so the brothers may be in an extra mood also. You touch the move, you know. You forget all the du'as before you go to your wife. Learn this du'a. Then your children will be pious and not rebellious. Hadith in Bukhari Sharif. Whenever the husband fulfills the conjugal rights of his wife, then read this du'a, husband and wife. Bismillahi jannibna. Ya Allah, let us stay far away from the shaitan. وَجَنِّبِ الشَّيْطَانَ مَا رَزَقْتَنَا. And let the shaitan stay far away from our children. So even at that time, we are begging Allah for His mercy. The hadith in Bukhari Sharif. Then see what pious children you will get. And when we just make hit and run business and so forth, وَشَارِكْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ وَإِتْهُمْ. The shaitan becomes a partner with us. Our children turn out to be small shaitans also.
This is a live broadcast from the Avenue of Salah, coming to you from Durban, 060-904-1056. If you have given your questions, we wait to see you then. What dua to read looking for a suitable marriage partner?
Same, read Surah 25, verse 74, inshallah, and read 2 rakat Salatul Hajj daily.
If I contribute a sadaqah to a Muslim organization, is it permissible for the organization to discharge my contribution as lillah?
Remember, if it is sadaqah and not sadaqatul fitr or zakat, so that is fine, they can include it in the lillah fund, so that would be acceptable. But if it is zakat or sadaqatul fitr or kafara or fidya, then they cannot use it as lillah funds. Remember, that would not be acceptable, not permissible.
Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Sahab. What is the best amal actions to do or recite for an expectant mother during her pregnancy?
All of you, my mothers, sisters, you are expecting, write down and make notes, mental notes of all these verses. Number one, the dua of a Nabi, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, Surah 37 verse 100. Surah 37 is after Surah Yasin, Surah Swafat. Rabbi habli min as-salihin. Oh beloved Allah, grant me pious children. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam made the dua. Allah jalla wala blessed him. With Nabi Ismail alayhi salam first, and thereafter Nabi Ishaq alayhi salam. Second dua, read the dua of another Nabi, Nabi Zakariya alayhi salam. Rabbi habli min ladunka zurriyatan tayyibah, innaka sami'ud dua. Surah 3 verse 38. Ya Allah, grant me from your side such children, offspring that are pure, they are chaste, pious. Innaka sami'ud dua. Verily, O Allah, you are the one who listens to the dua. Many a time our mothers, sisters, they fall pregnant, they conceive, and thereafter they lose the child because of, you know, stillborn or sometime miscarriage and so forth. So all of you sisters, everything you will find in the Quran Sharif, in the Sunnah of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Surah 13, after Surah Yusuf, Surah Ra'd, Surah 13 verse 8. Allahu ya'lamu ma tahmilu kullu unsa, wa ma taghidu al-arhamu wa ma tazdad. Oh Allah, you are the only one that you know what the lady is carrying, one child, twins, triplets, whatever, male, female. And the contraction, expansion that takes place, only Allah Jalla Wala knows. Are the gynecologists, how many hair on the baby, that fetus, who can tell you? Nobody can tell you. Only Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. And remember all of you, you're ending your term, my sister. You're right in the final stages, 8 months, 9 months. Then you read Surah 21 verse 30. أَوَلَمْ يَرَى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ كَانَتَا رَدْقًا. See the glory, the beauty, the style of the noble Quran. The heaven and the earth, kanata rutqa, they were joined with one another. Fafataqna huma, and we separated the heaven and the earth. Wajalna min al-ma'i kulla shayin hay, and everything that is alive, it got life from water. So remember Surah 21 verse 30. How your fetus, your unborn baby is stuck with you, Allah will make giving birth easy as well. Subhanallah, this is Allah's kalam. Me and you must have yakin and conviction in the Quran Sharif.
Alhamdulillah, salam za Mufti Sahab. Is it permissible for a married woman to be indulging herself with other men secretly and disobey the husband? A wife says she will do as she wants.
Okay, remember such a wife is a khabitha, she is impure, immoral. The Quran says, Al-khabithatu lil-khabithin. If she doesn't want to listen, it's better for you, husband, that you divorce such a wife. Why should you keep such an immoral lady? And likewise, when the husband is also, he is busy here and there and everywhere. He's saying he's going to play golf, but he goes and play other kind of golf, Allah forbid. So remember, the wife in that case, go to the ulama, the tribunal, and say you want a fasakh, you want an annulment of the marriage. Remember, Islam does not want us to stay with the immoral man or immoral wife. Remember this. We want tayyib, we want pure. That is what Islam is teaching us.
Yes, listeners, you can call us on 060-904-1056. Call us, actually, you can text us on 060-904-1056. This is a live broadcast from the Avondale Salah on the platforms of Marcus Sahaba, broadcast to Sirius FM and also Radio Al-Ansar. Mufti Sahab, this question says, can we read Salah with our eyes closed?
Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith in Bukhari Sharif, swallu kama ra'aytumuni uswalli, read your salat as you see me performing salat. So remember that you should read Salat with the eyes open. You see in South Africa today, a lot of things happen in the masjid also. If everybody keeps the eye closed, you must remember all our shoes also get stolen, you know. You know in South Africa today, a lot of things happen. So therefore, you must keep your eyes open, remember that. But if you can't concentrate and you keep your eyes closed as a last resort, we will say permissible but not sunnah. Sunnah to keep the eyes open.
This question says, will the four mazhabs be implemented for a particular issue?
Remember this, it all depends what is the issue. So if there is a real need and a necessity, then obviously you choose that. I give you easy example. You know people go for Umrah, they go for Hajj, and now we are performing Tawaf. And in Tawaf, some people, Allah forbid, intentionally, but most of the time inadvertently, unintentionally, the woman touches you, you touch the man, and if it's done intentionally, it's haram, obviously. So according to Shafi's, then the huzu will break. So obviously, there will be a huge problem. So they say, they make taqleed of the Hanafis. So in that issue, they are following the Hanafi jurist, and even if someone touches her inadvertently, or she touches, then the wudu would not break. So in cases like that, where there is a definite need, so then you opt for another mazhab. But not based on our worms, fancies and desires, that is definitely not permissible.
Assalamu alaikum, Hazrat Mufti Sahib. During the Muharram month, many don't believe in getting married or even stay away from eating meat. Is this correct?
All these are foreign practices. You must remember, we the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah condemn all this. Remember to say that in Muharram or in Ashura, we can't get married, we can't have walima, we can't have aqiqah. All these are fabrications, rejected, refuted by us, the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. You get married tonight, tomorrow, night of Ashura, day of Ashura, all that is totally permissible. The people don't want to eat meat or so because they feel that these are days of ghami, of sadness and mourning. So all these are rejected. Remember that when we were in Pakistan in the 70s, so the cinemas, the bioscopes used to have a black cloth around the cinema. So we never experienced all this. So we asked the rickshaw, you know, we students, we don't go in taxi, we go in a rickshaw, the three wheel. So we ask him, bhai sahab, ye kya hai? He said, nee, ye bioscope bhi ro raha hai. You see, the bioscope cinema also is crying. All shaitaniyat, you understood? So you must remember this. You see people, what they do, propaganda. So all these are shaitaniyat, there's no such thing in Islam.
Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Sahib, really enjoying you this evening. It says, any advice for our very prominent Muslim businessmen in Durban who make their staff work extra hours but no extra pay?
It's not only in Durban, brother. This is an international problem that everybody wants. Our ladies at home, they make the domestic work, and them underpay them and so forth. So Islam, this is Islam. If Islam tells the husband do A, B, C, then Islam tells the wife that you must do X, Y, and Z. So look at Islam, I give you both ways. So when you employ a person, إِنَّ خَيْرَ مَنِ اسْتَعْجَرْتَ الْقَوِيُّ الْأَمِينَ, you must employ such a person who's qawi, he's prepared to work, but he must be ameen and he must be honest. Today they are so active, they're helping themselves everywhere. You can see the government and so forth, how it's going on. So you must remember, we need both qualities, active and honest as well. Today if they're honest, then they're lazy. And if they're active, they're overactive, helping themselves also. So that is, you must remember, as far as the person you employ. And then you, the boss, what Quran taught us, وَلَا تَيَمَّمُ الْخَبِيثِ, don't make intention of impure. If you turn the tables the other way around, وَلَسْتُمْ بِآخِذِي إِلَّا أَن تُغْمِدُوا فِيهِ, if you were the employee and the employer had to treat you how you are treating the employee, you would not accept it. So treat them, and for us in South Africa and other parts of the world, this is a golden opportunity of da'wah to show the staff that we are Muslims, and this is how we interact with people and we show people. So remember Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam's hadith, that you must pay your staff before that you, they are sweat and perspiration gets dry. So it means that you pay them and timeously and not overwork them and underpay them. So that is not Durban, it's internationally. So all parts of the world remember that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Quran, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadith is applicable.
Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab. Is there any strong proof for the Hanafi to hold the hands tied below the navels in salah?
A'tul ajira ajrahu qabla ayya jiffa araquhu. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said regarding the previous question that give your employee his wages and whatever he is due to before the perspiration gets dry, the hadith in Mishkat Sharif. These type of questions that now the Hanafis keep below the navel and the Shafis keep above and so forth. Now you want to ask these type of things. Go open Imam Tirmidhi. He mentioned both and see what Imam Tirmidhi, the celebrated student of Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, said. Wal amru wasi'un. He said, remember, both are acceptable. So remember, these are the great muhaddithin. Now today we find people who don't even know 10 ahadiths properly, and they want to come and comment that no, the Hanafi is weak, the other Hanafi's dalil is poor and so weak and so forth. So people who make these kinds of comments, remember, they are dhal and mudil. They themselves are astray and they lead others astray. Where you come in this belated day and age to come and criticize Imam Abu Hanifa or Imam Shafi, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal? They were the giants of the time and each one of them have their dalail. But for your satisfaction, I gave you one dalil. Go open Tirmidhi and go see Imam Tirmidhi's comment I just mentioned to you now.
Salam za Mufti A.K. Hussain, can a husband take part in his wife's janazah?
So it depends what you mean in his janazah. If you mean can he be the imam? Yes, 100% he can be the imam. Can he go down in the grave? Yes, he can go down in the grave and bury her. This is according to everybody. If you mean can he be part of his wife's janazah, he wants to give her the farewell peck. He wants to give her one last kiss. It's jais. So you must remember, according to Shafi's, according to Maliki's, according to Hanbali's, if he touches her skin to skin, he puts his hand on her, or he kisses her forehead or something. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kissed Usman bin Maz'un, not Usman bin Affan, this is another Sahabi. The first person to pass away in Medina Munawwara Ba'd al-Hijrah was Usman bin Maz'un radiallahu anhu. So Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kissed him on his forehead, wa aynahu tazrifan, and the Master alayhi salam's Mubarak tears were rolling down. So therefore the same gender, our Ustad, our father, mother passed away, I kissed my mother, it's totally permissible. So you must remember that, so to do that is permissible, no problem. Now the question of academic nature, because you're asking, so I'm telling you, can the husband touch his wife? Or after her death. So you must remember who gave ghusl to Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha. See, just now I told you about the four schools. See this. When we went to the Malikis, the Shafis, the Hanbalis, we asked them, can the husband give ghusl to the wife? The wife passed away. They say yes. We asked them, what is your dalil and evidence? They said, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu warda, he gave ghusl to Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha. We went to the Hanafi scholars and jurors. Can the husband touch his wife skin to skin after her death and demise? They said, not jais. So we asked the Hanafis, why? They say, Surah 4 verse 23. So we asked them, what is Surah 4 verse 23 verse Surah 4 verse 24? They said, wa antajma'u bayn al ukhtain. You can't combine two sisters one time in your nikah. You are married to Aisha. Aisha passes away. Now when she passed away, you can marry Fatima, her sister. So when you can marry Fatima, then you can't touch Aisha. So remember, now I'm asking you, what you going to say? You will say, both parties got dalail. So this is fiqh, liyatafaqahu fi deen. You go deep into understanding, not sit on a lazy boy, hands outstretched and feet outstretched, and sit there and say, I'm to study deen on the internet. That is all shaitani at that. Dallu wa dallu, you go astray and you lead others astray also.
Time for us to go for a break, and inshallah we will continue after that. coming to you live from the Musalla here at Avondale, Durban. Alhamdulillah, the Q&A session with the Mufti A.K. Hussain. Last half an hour coming up. Number to call, 060-904-1056. That's your WhatsApp number. They're giving us the messages. Mufti Sahab are looking at this in-house message. It says, Salam to Mufti Sahab. My daughter is getting married soon. She is very excited and worried. What dua can she read for everything to go smoothly?
Inshallah, don't make dua only for your marriage day, sister. Make dua forever you stay happy with your husband. So daily read 2 rakat salat after zuhur or after maghrib, after isha. Allah Jalla Wala give tawfiq, you wake up at tahajjud, mashallah, you're going to be fasting maybe Wednesday, Thursday and so forth, or Friday. So suhoor time, sehri time, read 2 rakat salat and read Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa zurriyatina qurrata ayun, Surah 25, Surah Furqan, verse 74. Read Ya Wadudu Ya Wadud, read Allama alif bayna qulubina, Allama aslih dhata baynina. Every marriage there will be vicissitudes and ups and downs, but inshallah when both parties are sincere, then Almighty Allah unites the hearts, and that is the greatest gift, mashallah.
Ameen. Mufti Sahab, this question reads, when you accumulate the nisab amount, are you liable for zakat on that day or on some other day or Islamic the next Islamic year?
Remember that it works with the lunar year. So let's say you're working from Rabiul Awal to Rabiul Awal, Muharram to Muharram, Ramadan to Ramadan. So that day, zakat will be compulsory upon you. But normally what happens is, if zakat is a substantial amount, then you can't just pay a lump sum. So every week, every month, you pay a certain amount. So alhamdulillah, in that way there, the zakat would be discharged.
Assalamu alaikum. Can Mufti Sahab explain why Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslims were facing aqsa for salah before the instruction to turn towards the Kaabatullah, when the Kaaba was the first house of worship? Jazakallah khair.
Almighty Allah Jalla Wala made everything special for Mustafa Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Every Nabi faced one Qibla. For Mustafa Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, today also, if you go to Masjid Nabawi and you can read Arabic on front, the direction in Masjid Nabawi is a southern direction. And if you read, you will see one title of the Master alayhi salatu salam, Nabiul Qiblatain, Sahibul Qiblatain. So the Master alayhi salatu salam was given this distinction that, oh you, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you are the last, the final messenger of Allah. You were, you are, you always will be the most beloved to Almighty Allah. So Allah Jalla wa Ala led Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam face Masjid al-Aqsa for 16-17 months, as mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, and then the Baytullah Kaaba Musharrafah till the day of Qiyamah. And for the Ummah, open the second juz in the starting, سَيَقُولُ السُّفَهَاءُ مِنَ النَّاسِ مَا وَاللَّهُ مَنْ قِبْلَتِي مُلَّتِي كَانُوا عَلَيْهَا. So it was a big, big test. So remember, who will follow Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and who will say no, how can the Qibla be changed, and then they will leave. So it was a test and a trial for the Ummah. Our function is naqal and not aqal. We follow revelation. When there's a conflict between reason and revelation, then we follow revelation. So we follow naqal. Naqal is Quran and Sunnah. And aqal is our own intelligence and rationale and reasoning.
Salam za Mufti Sahab, what do you read if something is missing from your home?
Read Surah Wadduha. Allah Jalla wa Ala states, وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى. So inshallah, Almighty Allah will bring it back. Allahumma ijma' bayni wa bayna dhalati. Ya Allah, gather me and that item which is lost. Inshallah, Allah Jalla wa Ala will bring it back to you.
Mufti Sahab, you'll enjoy this. Sister says, Salam za Mufti Sahab said that wearing heels is deceptive. What if you married the person and he knows your height? Are you still deceiving him?
You're not deceiving him, you're deceiving other people. So remember, your neighbor don't know your height. You're going for shopping and all that, they don't know your height. So all this is deception. So we should not try and legalize. Remember, today people do wrong and then they try and legalize it. فَلِلْإِنسَانُ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ بَصِيرَةٌ وَلَوْ أَلْقَىٰ مَعَاذِيرَةٌ. Deep down, human beings know they are guilty, but outwardly, superficially, they will give some excuses. So yes, still is not permissible.
Salam the Mufti Sahib, explain what is Kheer Puri.
Remember that Kheer Puri, my mother used to make Kheer Puri, Allah Ta'ala give them all Jannatul Firdaus on Eid day, you know? So Kheer is the milk and Puri, mashallah, is triangle. Today you tell the lady to make Puri, she'll make square Puri for you. You must remember this kind of thing. So anyway, that this type of things, that we must not consider it a must or sunnah, and any time of day you can have it, it's fine, there's no problem. But we must have it now on 10th Muharram. If we don't have it, we'll get sun. There's no such thing like that in Islam.
Salam to Mufti Sahab, my eldest brother was working in the family business. My father was old, and my father gave him the responsibility of running the business, and he gave my brother shares in the business. 8 years before he passed away, who does these shares belong to my father's estate or to my brother, Mufti Sahab?
It all depends. If your father gave him certain amount of shares during the lifetime, now here we need to be very careful, that when the shares were given to him, was it just verbally or was it transferred on his name? If it was transferred on your elder brother's name, so that portion, the 25, 30, 40, 50% that was given to him, that will belong to your brother because the transfer was done on his name. If it was just a verbal thing and just said that this belongs to you, but all that still were on papa's name, your father's name, then the entire business will go into the estate. Therefore, two things you should always know. Number one, all of you who have millions and millions, mashallah, and now you want to sort it out. So don't just tell your family, this car will belong to this one, the house this one, the shop, the factory this one. No. You transfer it onto their name, they take possession of it, and there must be no conditions attached to it. You can't say, I'm giving you the car, I'm giving you the flat, I'm giving you the factory, and every month, every year, you must pay me 10,000, 100,000, 1 million rand. So no conditions. The giftee, the recipient of the gift, must take possession. Physical possession or documentary way that you transfer it on his name, the title deed and so forth.
Salam to Mufti Sahib, can non-Muslims join in a janazah salah?
Remember, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us in the noble Quran, وَمَا دُعَاءُ الْكَافِرِينَ إِلَّا فِي ضَلَالٍ. Janazah salat is a prayer, and we want the shafa'ah. Your name is Shafa'at Ahmad Khan. We want the shafa'ah, the intercession of the people making dua. Quran says the dua of the non-believers is not something that is required, acceptable and so forth. So therefore we will tell them they cannot participate in the actual prayer. But if they want to see how we bury as Muslims, remember everything is based on simplicity. There's no coffin, there's no box, nothing like that. So they can stand outside the graveyard and so forth, and then they can witness that. But remember, for us to bring them there and all these things, so that Islam does not advise us.
Salam to Mufti Sahib, can wife call a husband by his name if he has no title, example, Mufti, Molana, Doctor, etc.? Is it guna to call your husband by his name or nickname? Please advise.
Normally, when I give lectures, I think this morning I spoke about it on Radio Al-Ansar and on our Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wa Jama'ah. When we address the ladies, I call it recipe, and when I address the men, we call it prescription. How to enhance your marriage. Remember, keep nicknames for one another. So Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would call Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, Ya Humaira, oh you the one with the red complexion, because she was very, very beautiful, and Nabi alayhi salatu salam would please her also and make her happy. And remember that the wife called the husband honey, darling, sweetheart. This is not only permissible, this is highly encouraged as well. And if she calls him by the name, that also is permissible, but better to give a title like the ones I mentioned just now.
Salam to Mufti Sahib, when must the intention be made when reading the Quran? Is it before you start reading or after you finish reading?
When you start reading, make your intentions. فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَئِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. The Quran says, and you say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ, so that nothing distracts you. There's no waswasa and whispering and so forth of shaitan. Then you read, بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحِيمِ, and thereafter you recite the Quran. When you are finished, Ya Allah, I read one juice, one supara, half supara. Now Allah, I'm transferring all this, what I read. Allahumma awsil ma qara'tu ila jami'i ummatin nabiyyi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to all the people of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ummah. So your own recitation, you make the intention in the beginning. And as far as the isali thawab, all that goes, you make the intention afterwards or in the beginning, both is permissible.
Muftisab, in the year after, will the four mazhabs be implemented for a particular issue?
You must remember, in the year after, by we all going to Jannah. What you speaking about four schools and all these things there? So remember, that is for dunya. In the year after, there's no salat and fasting and all. In the year after, nuzulam min ghafurir rahim. Here we become the guest of people, they go out of their way, make us feel comfortable. There we are the guest of Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala. So when we go for Umrah Hajj, we say, Duyufur Rahman, we are the guest of Allah. That is for 1 week, 2 weeks, 1 month, 2 months. But remember, in Jannah, we are the perpetual, eternal guest of Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala.
Saranza Mufti Saab, if a child is born with a veil, is it a luck for the child? Please tell us more. Shukran.
You must remember, this veil story is not only for Muslim children, even non-Muslim children. So to say that my bachcha jo hai buzruk ban gaya, that my son is now a real buzruk already, my daughter is now going to be a great person. This happens to non-Muslims also. So we should not be getting carried away with these type of things.
Salams, we have been married for 25 years and do not have any children. How do we draw up a will? Jazakallah Muslim.
Remember, if you want children, even now, after 20, 25 years children, there's no problem. You read Surah 21, Surah Anbiya, and verse 89, رَبِّ لَا تَذَرْنِي فَرْدًا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْوَارِثِينَ. Listen to the dua. Nabi Zakariya alayhi salatu salam, in his old age, and he's begging Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala, oh Allah, do not leave me alone. You are the best one to grant is. And then see in the beginning of Surah Maryam, how he beseeches, begs and pleads with Almighty Allah. وَهَنَ الْأَزْمُ مِنِّي وَاشْتَعَلَ الرَّأْسُ شَيْبًا. Ya Allah, my bones are gone weak and brittle. Ya Allah, my hair is gone grey, Ya Allah, and whitish. I beg you, I beseech you, Allah, habli min ladunka waliya. Ya Allah, grant me a son, grant me a child. Allah Jalla wala, in that old age, grants him Nabi Yahya alayhi salatu salam. So therefore, you, husband and wife, you should be reading abundant istighfar. Yumdidkum bi amwaliu wa baneen. Allah will give you children if you want, inshaAllah. Secondly, how you draw up your will? You pass away, brother, so your wife will inherit 25%. And then if your parents are alive, they will inherit. If they are not there, your siblings will inherit. So if she passes away, the wife, she predeceases you, then you will inherit 50%. If her parents are alive, then they will inherit also. And if there's no parents, then her siblings will inherit. So that is how. Remember one law. That whenever the father of the deceased is there, then the siblings, the brothers, sisters of the deceased are deprived. Whenever the son, the biological son of the deceased is alive, then remember the siblings, the brothers, sisters of the deceased are deprived. This is 100% across the board.
Saranza Mufti Saab, whilst traveling to Cape Town, we reached the outskirts of Jummah time. The men went to the mosque whilst we went to the lady section. Should we read Qasr Zuhur or should we follow the Imam? Jazakallah khair.
Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, authentic hadith, Laysa ala al-nisa'i jumu'a, Laysa ala al-musafiri jumu'a. So you must remember that Jummah Salat is not compulsory upon musafir and travelers, upon ladies and so forth. So if the ladies read two rakat Zuhur Salat, that's fine, there's no problem. And the men, if they reach the masjid and it was Jummah time, so mashallah, that's good. Then you follow the imam for the men, obviously. But if you could not make it, then the men also, you just read 2 rakat, salatul zuhr, qasr, and you carry on.
Assalamu alaikum, respected Mufti sahab. Please advise what a woman should do if she goes for umrah and gets her menses while she's on route. Will she be allowed to perform umrah? What ibadat can she do?
All this you will find, it happened to the greatest of women. When Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam was entering Makkah Mukarramah on the 4th of Zulhijjah, in the 10th year of the Hijrah, just prior to that, there in a place called Sharif, nowadays it's called Shumaysiyah, our mother Siddiqah bint Siddiq, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, her haiz, her menses started. She asked Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now what should I do? The Master alayhi salam said, it was Hajj time, if Ali kama yafalul Hajj, ghayra Allah tatufi bil bayt, you do everything the Haji does, but you can't perform tawaf. So you sister, you will wait. Remember, you can change your clothing, change your underwear, take a bath, but you can't be using soap and shampoo while you're in ihram, obviously. And when you are clean, then you take your first ghusl and you go and perform umrah. You don't have to go out anywhere. The problem comes about, you entered Makkah Mukarramah for umrah, and just prior to that, your napaki, your menses started. It lasted 7, 8, 9, 10 days, and now you have to leave already. Now what happens? You cut your hair, you release yourself from ihram, you slaughter a goat or a sheep there in Makkah, and then any time in future in your life, qaza of that umrah is compulsory. Wa atimul hajj wal umrah lillah. You have to complete the hajj or the umrah once you have started it. And in this case, because now you went away due to circumstances, so inshallah next time you go, so you perform that umrah as qaza, but you have to slaughter a goat and sheep, and that must be done in Makkah or Mina.
Assalamu alaikum Mufti sahab, what is the meaning of being blocked in Islam? How do you know if you blocked, and what dua do you read to unblock yourself?
Half the time the people are blocked because they're negative with Almighty Allah. This is Hadith Qudsi. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah Jalla wa la states, Ana akunu ala dhanni abdi bi. I will treat my servant, remember, that as he thinks of me. So a Muslim, whatever the circumstances are, always we must remain positive. Today some people are so negative all the time, they say, yeah, Allah don't like me, Allah is punishing me. This is very, very serious. You can go right out of the fold of Islam, Allah forbid, if you are not careful. I'm not saying you're out of the fold of Islam, I'm saying you must be very careful. So what else? Things go in our favor, alhamdulillah. Things go against our warm fancies and desires, alhamdulillah.